We pray. Heavenly Father, we gather in your house to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior. We pray that the presenters would never overshadow the presentation, that the message of Christ born into our sinful world might fill our hearts. Remind us also that his coming was because of our sin. And so we ask you to bless our simple service of celebration this evening. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Please rise. Our liturgy on this Christmas evening is seen projected on the screens. This is the day the Lord has made. From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach us your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth. In that word of truth, we are told the reason for Jesus' advent. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to pay the debt of sin that each of us owed. It is fitting then, as we prepare to celebrate our Savior's entrance into our sinful world, that we confess the sins that caused him such great suffering. Jesus, our Savior, was not only born, he went on to live a perfect life and to then offer that perfect life on the cross of Calvary as the complete divine payment for all of our sins. By the assurance that God the Father provided by raising his Son from the dead and according to his command and his authority, I assure each of you that he has pardoned all your sins. You are forgiven. God remembers your sin no more. Amen. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for you are good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
May be seated.
Our scripture readings on this Christmas Eve form a unit. The first is found in Isaiah chapter 53, beginning there with the first verse. It tells of the prophecy of Jesus, but that prophecy for him was not a good thing. It was great for us, not for him, because we recognize that he came to suffer and die, to do for us what we could not. So we read first in Isaiah 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So far, our first reading. Our second is the beginning of John's Gospel, the first chapter beginning with the first verse. John had a special relationship with Jesus. He had a name for him, even a pet name. He referred to him always as the Word, because that emphasized what it is that Jesus came to bring us, and what we still have are the words of Jesus, by which we are converted, by which we are assured of forgiveness, by which we are saved. So in this second reading, John outlines the purpose again for Jesus' coming, man's reaction, and yet what Jesus did nonetheless. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our scripture readings. Please rise. We join now in the confession of our Christian faith using the words of the Christmas Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who created me. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, my Lord, the long-promised Messiah, who came as foretold, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in my Savior, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I rejoice in my salvation, walk in Christ, show forth his praises, and will one day live and reign with him in all eternity. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's talk a little bit about Mary and Joseph here. A lot of people, you see pictures of Mary a lot with baby Jesus this time of year. But let me tell you something else. I'm really surprised at Joseph, too. Joseph did something really pretty remarkable. Here's this baby Jesus. It's not his baby. Belongs to somebody else, but he kind of adopts it, right? Yeah, that's a lot of work, right? If any of you have had any baby brothers or sisters, they wake you up in the middle of the night a lot, and they're always, they don't know how to feed themselves, you always have to get them fed and things like this, so he was really kind of a surprising guy. I kind of like him. And let me tell you something else about adoption. You're adopted. Yeah, you're adopted because God adopts you. Yes, he does. Jesus came here to take your place. And you took his place too. Okay? You're sons and daughters of God now. What do you call God's a king, right? What do you call king's kids? If it's a son, you call him a prince. Yeah. And if you're a girl?
It's a princess.
A princess, right. So you're all princes and princesses because of what Jesus did. And what Joseph did kind of reminds me of that. Let me read you a little bit of this from the Bible here. Okay. Let me point out, too, that it's kind of interesting how all this happened. You can see how God planned all of this. The Romans had their emperors. Emperor. Yeah. And what do emperors do? What's so special about them? They're even higher than a king. So Caesar Augustus was known to be one of the nicer emperors, which is kind of nice. Things wouldn't be so violent when baby Jesus was born. But he had a civil war little before Jesus was born. And what's the problem with wars? How much money do you think a war costs?
About $1,000.
Yeah, a lot more, actually. So, he's short of money. How is a nice emperor going to figure out, am I getting all the money I need? He figures he isn't, but how's he going to do it? He's going to check and make sure everybody is paying their taxes. Well, that's how this started. And I'll read here from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. People had to travel a lot. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of King David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. That means it was time for her to have her baby. Okay, so let's put Mary and Joseph up there. Jesus a little bit. Now, I know we didn't do this in rehearsal, but I want you to put baby Jesus up here first. I want you to be real careful with him, okay? Not too fast. You have to go slow, real gentle. Yeah, put him up there. Yeah. Good. Good. You know why I had you do that real careful?
Because that's what we need to do.
Well,
if you have a baby, you need to handle it carefully.
That's true. Yeah, the real reason I told you to be careful with him was because his diaper needs changing and I don't want it to leak. Did you ever think about that? Here, I've got a picture of Jesus here. This is a picture of Jesus from Revelation. Let everybody see that here. Yeah, he's got a crown on his head. Yeah, kind of hard to see, but there's fire in his eyes. And you see, he can stomp on the bad guys. There's one here, you see, he's actually stomping on his head. That's the devil. And at the same time, anybody who believes in him, he can rescue him from the devil. Okay, we all deserve to be down here like these people, but again, Jesus took our place, and we take his place, so we're like holy people.
So, yeah.
Well, we can now, thanks to Jesus. So, I've got this picture of Jesus here.
That kind of looks like a skeleton.
Yeah, he does. So, I've got this picture of Jesus here, and there's this Jesus over here. Which one is the real Jesus? On Christmas, this is the real Jesus. This is what Jesus was like.
That's what I think.
Well,
Judgment Day.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little while here too. But it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this strip going down here. And Jesus had all of this. He had all these fantastic superpowers. In Revelation, he says there's a sword in his mouth that comes out of his mouth. And he threw it all away. Yeah. So he could be a baby. Yeah, he doesn't know how to walk. He doesn't know how to talk. He can't even go to the bathroom by himself. So why did Jesus do that?
Because he loved us and he wants to be
us. Yeah, he did it for you. If he's going to take your place, he has to be a human being just like you are. Okay?
It's not like he can do something
that
he just appears as a person.
Well, he really is a person.
Yeah.
He has to be to take your place. So, here he is. This is how we get saved. Okay? This is how we don't get what we deserve around this time. Okay? God looked at all people and saw nobody was going to heaven. Nobody was making it. So he had Jesus become a little baby, a human being, just like the rest of us. And I have one verse to read for you here. Verse 7. And she, that's Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in, okay, they didn't have diapers in those days. Yeah, swaddling cloths. They were just strips of cloth. You know, you could wash them and make them soft and wrap that around the baby instead of a diaper. At least I'm pretty sure they didn't have onesies back then. Okay, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. They didn't even have a good room to sleep in. So, okay, let's go to our next song.
Mom!
our third lesson here. Before I start, I want you to remember two words, okay? Because words keep changing in the English language. One is, we've got this word savior, okay? A savior is somebody who saves people, right? I've noticed this in other languages that I've worked on. The word savior and the word hero are the same, because heroes save people too, right? So that's what I want you to remember. Savior equals hero. Okay? Here's another one I want you to remember. Today we say messenger. But 2,000 years ago, the word for messenger was angel. Okay? Yeah. We think of angels as things with two wings on them and things like that. We talked about angels last Christmas quite a bit about that. And I hope you remember that that's really not the way we see them in the Bible so much. But here's the thing. It was just the word for messenger. You didn't have to have wings to be an angel. See, if this were 2,000 years ago, I could give you a message. I could say, here, take this message to your parents. And your parents would have to call you an angel because you're a messenger. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So here's the thing. This is what happens so much at Christmas today. And what's more important, the messenger or the message that the person is carrying?
Messenger.
No, actually, it's the message. The message is the important thing. The person just carries it. And this is what happens at Christmas time. Yeah, you see angels everywhere. People have pictures of angels and shepherds. And wise men, we'll talk about that in a little while too. And other things, churches ring bells at Christmas, so they put pictures of bells up. And the bell isn't as important as the church and the place where you go to hear the message, right? So I'll read you a little bit about this. And you remember the two words I told you. This one's kind of long, and starting at verse 8 here. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people." And here comes part of the message, right here. You paying attention? This is the important part. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior," that is your hero, "who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, here's the other part of the message, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I like how they put the most important part first. Glory to God in the highest. "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just like the angel said. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So the shepherds are really angels too, because they're bringing a message. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She thought about them. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Okay, so let's get the angel up here. Because he grew up just like a normal person. And I think that's good for you to know, because you have problems, things that bother you. Okay? You're probably nervous now or thinking about presents and things like that. Jesus had problems too. Okay? He never did anything wrong, of course, but terrorists. We know that there were terrorists when Jesus was alive. They were called zealots back then, but that's what they were. Okay? Jesus had to go to school. Okay, sometimes it was homeschooling, yeah. But he had to go to school. He had to do a lot of memorizing. So whenever you have problems, I want you to remember, too, that you can pray to Jesus about this. Because once upon a time, Jesus was just as old as you. He knows what it's like to be as old as you, or you were you. Okay? He knows that. Another thing here, do you see something missing here? You think we're missing something? Oh, okay, there's no shepherds there. How about these guys? Yeah, you see this on Christmas cards a lot. Yeah, they're the three kings, they call them. The Bible actually calls them wise men or magi. Now, here's what were magi really? Okay, think of them, they're like prehistoric scientists. Okay, they know things that other people don't know. They know that when you mix vinegar and baking soda together, it bubbles up. Or if you throw sodium into a tank full of water, it explodes. Okay, they knew things like that. And of course, they would have looked at the stars a lot. The scientists even today look at the stars a lot. And the Bible doesn't say they were kings. All right? Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But how come they're not here right now? Well, they followed the star, and they found that. But if you read the Bible, it's very unlikely that they were there. You see this on your little shows on TV all the time. The shepherds and the wise men come at the same time. That's very unlikely. The shepherds didn't follow the star. The angel told them he's in a manger. That was their sign. That was their signal. And the same thing, too, I think probably the star was just a little star. It wasn't big like you see on all the Christmas cards. Because nobody says, oh, you guys must be following that star around. It's like only they knew how to look for that star. So if you ever heard of the 12 days of Christmas, on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. What are the 12 days of Christmas? See, yeah, in the church, people have always celebrated Epiphany. That's what we call it when the wise men come. They've always celebrated that on January 6th. And if you count both days at the end, December 25th up to January 6th, there are 12 days. This is what people used to do in the old days. Okay, they would take their Christmas presents and they put them under the tree on December 25th, Christmas Day. And then they'd look at them for 11 days. They wouldn't open them until January 6th. Why did they do that? Why would they just sit and look at those presents for so long? That's right. The wise men brought presents to Jesus. And so they would wait till the 12th day to open their presents. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that now? But I hope, getting into the future here, when we celebrate the wise men coming to see Jesus, I hope you look at that as a present too, because it's something you can open up and get even more messages from God. Okay, that's a pretty nice present. The other thing too is Jesus is coming again, and he's going to come like this. And I hope this picture doesn't scare you, because Jesus is going to rescue you, because it's Prince Adam, okay, and Princess Amelia, Princess Sophia, right? So he's going to save you on that day. Okay, you're practically saved already because of what Jesus has done. On this Christmas day, he took your place. And when he was done, you get to take his place, really, and be up in heaven with God the Father. So, we have one more song to sing, right? You're a little wise.
Your little
on this eve of our Savior's birth, we pray. Dearest Jesus, hear our humble prayer on this Christmas Eve. We gather in joyful spirit to celebrate the wonders of your holy birth. We confess that all the words that we speak and sing to your glory this night fall far short of the praise we sinners owe you, our God. You who left your throne in heaven to appear here in lowliness as our Savior. A stable was your first home, a manger your first bed. Yet for our sakes you entered far deeper humiliation than this, for you came to bear the cross, the shame, the suffering, and even the death which we sinners deserve for our sins. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for sharing our human nature. For you did this that we might share your glory, your immortality in heaven. We thank you for your love, which made you willing to sacrifice yourself on the cross for us. And we thank you for the joy of being saved and for the privilege of living our lives to you. Finally, we thank you that also from the mouths of our children this evening, we can hear again that precious story of your birth and rejoice again in the heavenly peace announced by the angels. To this end, we pray, bless our children, that they may remain faithful to you throughout their lives, ever adoring you as their Lord, their King, their hero, ever trusting you as their Savior, ever serving you as their loving Master. Keep all of us in this faith. Direct our footsteps from day to day with the light of your love and truth that shines in our hearts this evening. In your mercy, share that gospel also through us to every nation and people, those who desperately need to hear that you are also their Savior, that you also died for their sins. And then finally, take each of us at last to heaven where, together with the angels and all the saints, we will sing your praise in perfect love through all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, as we pray also the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May be seated.